Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to start a new series, but before I get into that, you're probably wondering what's up with the sound. I have a new microphone and a mixer board now. I'm moving up in the world. I'm such a geek. I'm kind of a techie kind of guy, and here I have this brand new board and this microphone. The microphone's kind of a cheapie. The mixer board is fairly expensive. It's a very nice birthday present for me. it's pretty exciting. Now, just as a side note, some of you guys realize this, but not many of you do. For the last, over a year now, about a year and a half, I've been recording podcasts, I kid you not, on a really old BlackBerry phone that's not even in service. I have to keep the BlackBerry plugged into the wall for most of the podcast because the battery is so old, and I've been using the old stock earphones that come with the BlackBerry to record podcasts. That's what I've been doing for the longest time. And so now I have this mixer board. I'll probably replace this cheap microphone before too long. It kind of puts the kibosh on mobile podcasting, but you know what? That's really not where it's at anyway. Once in a while I'll do that, but it's better to be in one place. And by the way, I'm no longer recording in my carfus or my truckfus either. Many of the old podcasts I would record while sitting in my truck, oh boy, or out in the car so that I could avoid all the background noise. Well, right now I'm recording in an unfinished room in the basement. And it's got a little bit of echo. I think I'm going to tape some blankets to the wall or something to try and remove that echo sound. But whatever the case, things have changed, and it's pretty exciting. So anyway, on with the show here. A few weeks back, I did a very short series on Oneness Pentecostals. And I talked about how one of the things they believe is that the Trinity is a pagan doctrine. Now, they're not the only ones that believe this. There are many groups out there that believe that the Trinity is a pagan doctrine. In fact, some of them would include the Jehovah's Witnesses. They believe that the Trinity is pagan. Also, the Jews believe the Trinity is pagan. Unitarians, Sabbatarians, Muslims, and, well, pretty much anybody who holds a modalist position. And so they make many, many different claims. You find that in many of the ancient god mythical stories, supposedly there are Trinitarian gods, and we're going to explore this. It makes me hearken back to when I did that series on Is Jesus a Copy of the Ancient Mystery Religions? You can find that on my website, youthapologeticstraining.com, in the podcast archive. But we explored some of the ideas that people bring forth, like the Zeitgeist film on YouTube, where people make this claim that Jesus and Christianity were just a big copy of all these pagan mystery religions. Well, this series is going to go along that same theme. There are many people that claim that the concept of the Trinity does not come from the Bible, but it comes from ancient pagan mystery religions, the Egyptians, the Sumerians, the Babylonians, the Hindu gods. There are some Hindu, supposedly, Trinity-type gods out there. We're going to look at a few of these. We won't get too in-depth looking at the different mystery religion and ancient gods that supposedly resemble a Trinity, but we will look at some of them. It's also claimed that the Trinity, the concept of the Trinity didn't even come about until the Council of Nicaea around 325 AD. Now, so many different cult groups like to pick on the Council of Nicaea because they just simply don't understand. And so there are so many conspiracies surrounding the Council of Nicaea. Dan Brown, in his Da Vinci Code book, he had to jump on the Council of Nicaea. The Jehovah's Witnesses are always coming up with conspiratorial stories concerning the Council of Nicaea. You find that in the messianic Jewish type crowd, the group that believes in Jesus or Yeshua as the Messiah, but then, well, many of them, not all of them, but many of them like to stray back to legalism and start believing things like you must obey the dietary laws, you must observe the Sabbath, you must observe all of the feasts. And so anyway, everybody seems to have some conspiracy story about the Council of Nicaea. So we'll talk about that a little bit too. But the fact is that they claim that this Trinitarian doctrine is not found in the Bible and that it's copied from ancient pagan sources. Well, we're going to look at the Bible in this series. We've already talked about the Trinity quite a bit in the last few weeks, but we'll look at it a little bit more. Is it found in the Bible? Absolutely. It can easily be demonstrated from the scriptures. The Trinity is in the Bible. The word Trinity, this is great, but I've had Jehovah's Witnesses tell me many times in the past, well, Trinity, the word Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible. And I say, yes, neither does the word theocratic, kingdom, or theocracy, or, for that matter, Jehovah. Jehovah's Witnesses make a big deal about the name Jehovah. Well, guys, Jehovah does not show up in the Greek or the Hebrew. The Jews never pronounced God's name as Jehovah. That's not how it works. But anyway, the fact that the word Trinity doesn't show up in the Bible is, well, pretty much irrelevant. The concept, the teaching, the idea of the Trinity most certainly is. So we'll look at that. It's also claimed that the early church didn't even believe in the Trinity. Of course, they didn't use the word Trinity, but we're going to look at some old quotes from the early church, the church fathers, that clearly show that they understood one God in three distinct persons. They did believe this, and we're going to look at ancient writings that show exactly that. Now, friends, why would anybody attack the Trinity? Well, there's many reasons. Most of these groups attack the Trinity because they don't like the idea that Christ is God. They deny that Christ is deity. In other words, they are anti-Christ. They deny the deity of Christ. Some of them attack the Trinity because they believe that the concept of the Trinity comes from the Catholic Church. Now, the Catholic Church has affirmed the Trinity, but the Trinity comes from the Bible, not the Catholic Church. Some groups deny the Trinity just simply because it is the official teaching of whatever cult they're from. And others, they just want to distance themselves from any appearance of being pagan, which I think, okay, if that's it, I would suppose that is a noble cause. But does the Trinity come from pagan sources, I would like to ask, or do pagan sources copy the concept of the Trinity? And we're also going to look at many of these pagan sources, by the way, and none of them match up to one God in three persons. There's not a single Trinity-type source in any pagan document, any belief system that has one God in three persons. And so, just for the pure fun of getting your blood boiling, I want to read some quotes to you from various sources. By the way, most of these are from Jehovah's Witnesses or Unitarians for that matter. But anyway, whatever the case, the Trinity is a corruption borrowed from the heathen religions and engrafted on the Christian faith. That was the Dictionary of Religious Knowledge. Huh, interesting. Christianity did not destroy paganism. It adopted it. From Egypt came the idea of a divine Trinity. False. But anyway, that's historian Will Durant. The doctrine that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was God the Son, was decreed by worldly and ecclesiastical powers. Men were forced to accept it, oh my goodness, at the point of the sword, or else. Thus, the error of the Trinity was propounded to the end that ultimately people believed it to be the truth. Thus, Christianity became in essence like Babylonian heathenism with only a veneer of Christian names. That's Victor Paul Weirwill. Friends, wow, some of these quotes are fairly offensive. Here we go. So we see the earliest forms of various pagan religions were really deliberate rejections of the one God, Jehovah. This is obviously Jehovah's Witness. Their pagan doctrines were obviously lacking specific truths as they had departed from the true faith. The more that people crept away from faith in Jehovah God, the more elaborate their concoctions became regarding their view of God, until a trinity of three persons was invented. Here's another one. This is Alexander Hislop in his The Two Babylons. He says, the papacy has in some of its churches an image of the triune God with three heads on one body. The Babylonians had something of the same. So utterly idolatrous was the Babylonian recognition of the triune divine unity that Jehovah, the living God, had severely condemned his own people for giving any countenance to it. Okay, well, you know what? The Catholic Church has a lot of paganism within its walls. Okay, the Catholic Church has adopted many things throughout the years that are completely ungodly and cannot find themselves in the Bible. Okay, in other words, many unbiblical practices are in the Catholic Church. So, no shocker there. We're not Catholics. We're Christians. We're Bible-believing, Jesus-following, born-again Christians. Hislop also says in that previous quote that God judged the Babylonians because they worshipped a triune divine unity. Where did he get that? Here's another one from Alexander Hislop. The Trinity got its start in ancient Babylon with Nimrod, Tammuz, and Semiramis. Semiramis demanded worship for both her husband and her son, as well as herself. She claimed that her son was both the Father and the Son. Yes, he was God the Father and God the Son, the first divine, incomprehensible Trinity. The Jehovah's Witnesses love to call the Trinity incomprehensible, as if that's some kind of good argument. And there's a lot of things about God that are incomprehensible. Like, try this one. He's from everlasting. Try to wrap your brain around that. I mean, just think about your entire life, your short life, and then you think about all the time, the recorded time on this planet, and it seems like forever. And then try to comprehend from everlasting. How does that even work? How about this one? Try to comprehend this. How does God stand outside of space and time? How does that even work? How does any kind of time pass in that type of an existence? See, there are many things about God that we just cannot comprehend. And so, since we can't comprehend that, is that suddenly reason to reject it all? No, it's not. We have to look at, well, we have to look at all the evidence, pretty much. But, well, guys, quite simply, we all know that there is a God. It just comes down to, who is he? And the Bible holds those answers. But we see here in this Hislop quote from the two Babylons that Nimrod, Tammuz, and Semiramis formed a triunity, like this trinity. There was God the Father, God the Son, and then there was Semiramis, the goddess mother. Now, you see that in other cultures as well. But again, what we have here is not one God in three persons. We have two gods and a goddess, right? And no, they're not ontologically equal. They're not equal in essence. They're not equal in power. They're not equal in office. We have three different beings that are, well, three different gods, two gods and a goddess. Completely different. And see, friends, that's what we're going to find as we look at these different supposed Trinity type gods, okay, we're going to find that none of them really resemble the Bible. So in the coming days, we're going to be looking at these different mystery religions, different ancient god myths that supposedly carry with them some kind of a triune god. We're going to examine them, some of them, not all of them. There's so many claims to a triune god, but it just comes down to this. You know, look, they have really nothing to do with the Trinity as portrayed by the Bible, where we have one God manifesting in three persons. And, well, friends, they commit the genetic fallacy. I have a podcast on the genetic fallacy if you'd like to learn more about that. Otherwise, tomorrow we're going to discuss that a little bit more and then get a little bit deeper on this subject. Yeah, we're going to look at as much as we can. I originally thought that this was going to be a one-part podcast when I first recorded that short series on Oneness Pentecostals. I started studying this through and realized, well, there's a lot to talk about here. So it's going to be several podcasts long. So anyway, friends, if you like this type of content, you like apologetics, you like worldviews, cult research, creation, evolution, Bible difficulties, reasons that we know that God himself wrote the Bible through the lips, hands, and personalities of men, come out to my website, youthapologeticstraining.com. Click on the podcast archive link. I have podcasts in there to check out on quite a few fun subjects, and I'm adding podcasts every day. So come out there and check that out. Everything's free. And so anyway, friends, you can also catch me on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter. I love talking to you guys and getting to know you and helping with questions as much as I can. And so with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.